Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Well, 6 days. America's still standing. I've checked it earlier today. Went outside. We haven't lost any air. Everything's okay. America still seems to be moving forward. Nothing has happened untoward towards us. He is still president-elect. He will be president no matter how much you whine, bitch, and moan. Your whine-ins are not working. In fact, I just heard that somebody along the I-5 here in California was just hit by a protester was just hit by a car. Let me tell you something, and I want everybody to understand this. And tell your friends, if they're out there protesting, I don't want anybody to get hurt. If you stop traffic, if you get in the way of people getting either to or from work, you will not only lose all sympathy, there's a good chance you're going to get hit. And I don't think any of us feel sad for you. Don't mess with people's commute, is what I'm trying to tell you. Like, people want to go home. People want to get to work. Don't mess with their commute. You may think it's great. You may think it's fun because you got no job to go to. But imagine if you did have a job. Imagine if you were a barista at some coffee place and I showed up and didn't let you in the door because I was pissed about something. How would you feel? Or if you wanted to leave and I took your keys, how would you feel? Yeah. So don't mess with people's commutes. And stop your bitching and moaning. Really? Stop. You know what? This is what's funny. I was trying to picture the perfect little antidote to what these kids remind me of. I love my son, Jack. Jack wants everything his way. If it's a birthday party for an adult, it's almost like you got to get him a little something too. That's what you are doing. So we'll get you a trophy if it'll make you feel good. We'll get you a participant trophy. We'll give it to Hillary. She can come out. We'll get her a belt like a boxer or something. And she could be a participant. And we can all move on with our lives. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. That's all we ask. Give him a chance. Simple as that. Chance. That's all he wants. Chance. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? In fact, if you don't think I'm saying it correctly, if you don't think that you're picking up the words I'm putting down, this is Dave Chappelle from Saturday Night Live.
I'm wishing Donald Trump luck, and I'm going to give him a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one too.
There you go. Chance. That's all anybody wants in life. Right? Give them a chance. I don't know what kind of president Donald Trump's going to be. Maybe he's going to be a great one. Maybe he's going to be an indifferent one. Maybe he'll be one of those run-of-the-mill, wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, came, did his thing, and, you know, we move on. Maybe he'll be an unmitigated disaster. Or maybe he'll be just exactly what this president needed to be for this country at this time. Understand, he may not be the greatest president over a long period of time, when we look back, but he may be the best president at this time for this situation. Case in point, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill had approval ratings near the 90s when World War II came to an end. He was voted out right after World War II. Winston Churchill wasn't a great leader in times of peace, but he was a great leader in times of war. I don't know what kind of president Donald Trump will be. He may be exactly what this country needs at this moment, at this time, to jumpstart us and to put us back in a situation that we feel that we need to be in. Because, yes, I will have to say, over the last 8 years, 10 years, there's been times when we've hung our head. There's been times when the frustration has been loud on both sides. There's been times that, quite frankly, you look back and you say, you know what, America, we got to do better. And this might be exactly what America needs at this time. So you don't know. Nobody knows what he's going to be. Nobody understands any of this going forward as far as you're not going to predict it. If you're telling me it's going to be this, I don't understand why you think it's going to be that, because I don't know. You're telling me over here you think it's going to be like this and you think all these rights are going to go away? I don't understand what you're thinking because I don't know. What I think is going to happen is I think, because a lot of these people aren't acting on I thinks. They're I knows. I know exactly what's going to happen. You don't. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to be hyper-focused on Obamacare and fixing it. He's not going to break it up. He's going to break it up in chunks and pieces. He's getting rid of it. He's going to add to it. It's going to look, the skeleton's going to look very familiar. I think he's going to hyper-focus on things like trade and the economy. And let me tell you something about trade. I want everybody to soak this up when it comes to trade. I want everybody to soak this up. We created a lot of this mess. We did, you and I. Consumer-based society. We want to stock them deep and sell them cheap. I don't want to spend $500 on my 60-inch TV. I want to spend $350. We created a good portion of this. We have consumed. I mean, look at the size of us, for God's sakes. We are consuming at a high rate of speed. We like cheap, cheap, cheap. We want our Black Friday deals. We want our Cyber Monday deals. We want stuff cheap. We have created a lot of this mess. We have. We're a price-based society now. It's not the best. It's what's the cheapest. Who gets the deal when somebody's coming and bidding on a job at your house? Usually the last person there. Why? Because they're going to know exactly what's out there, what you've been bid upon, and they're going to undercut it, and they're going to get the gig. That's it. Same thing. Why would I want to buy something for $700 when I can go to Walmart and get it for $450? Consumer-based. We consume. So when everybody's talking about all these trade things and he's doing stuff about, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. China fired off today. And let me tell you something. I think we're going to get some better deals off of it. But I also think that we're going to see some stuff that will take a little bump. We'll take a little bit of a bump in price. Are you okay with that? We all say we're okay with it now. But are you really okay with it? The question you have to ask yourself. But I think the economy and Obamacare and fighting ISIS and the military and rebuilding the military and the wall are going to consume most of it. I don't think he's going to have time for Roe versus Wade. I don't think he's going to have time for trying to oppress everybody out there as you all think he's going to. I don't think you have time for any of these things because he's going to be too busy trying to fix some of this mess. You're whining, you're moaning, you're bitching, you're whining, you're moaning and bitching. That's what you do. You're not trying to fix any of the things. We'll get to you in a minute. But before we decide that Donald Trump is a failure, before we decide that he needs to go away, before we decide that his presidency is a lost cause, take a step back and think, why don't we give him a chance? We don't know what he's going to be like. Why don't we give him a chance? It's as simple as that. He's not asking for anything other than a chance. And if you think, well, look at all the stuff he said along the way. Yeah, he said some stuff that was, it pissed me off. He said some stuff that shocked me. He said some stuff that no other politician would have probably survived through. But he said some stuff. But at the same time, he said a lot of other things as well. Things that I think can help this country. And I see too many people out there who scream about how open-minded they are, yet they say the most narrow-minded things on their social media or to friends on the phone or to their face about the disdain they have for them for voting for Donald Trump. Give the man a chance. That's all you got to do. I'll be the first one in line to credit him, and I'll be the first one in line to criticize him. I'll be the first one in line to say, you know what? That was a brilliant thing he did, and it absolutely looks like it's paying off. And I'll be the first one in line to say, How dare he do something like that? We're all Americans, or this is going to cost us in the long run, or this is only going to hurt our country down the road. I'll be the first one to do that. But you know what I can't do? I can't say those things now because he's not president of the United States. He's not done any of those things. One side has already decided he's the worst thing to ever happen to them. And they're taking to the streets in droves to whine, to bitch, to moan, to cry, the inevitable, they think. But the truth is, they don't know. They don't know. Give them a chance. Be open-minded. Give them a chance. Open your mind to the thought that maybe it's not as bad as you think. Give him a chance. Let him become president before you call him the worst president of all time. Actions speak louder than words. Right now, your words are, he's the worst president of all time. The truth is, he's had zero chance to have any action. You've just declared him that. Give him a chance. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show. Love it when you do. A lot of text messages coming in. Why should we give him a chance? Because you should. 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
President-elect Trump is going to get criticized by a lot of the media for some of his picks. I'm surprised Kellyanne Conway hasn't snagged a position. You don't know who she is. She was the lady that was really a big surrogate for him and then came along a little bit later in the campaign after Lewandowski left. And Bannon also came along. And Bannon today, he's going to be like a special advisor, special counsel. To him, he was the guy's got a very interesting life, sharp dude, but has some issues when it comes to misogyny, racism, anti-Semitic, homophobic. I mean, there's lots of things that Breitbart has been accused of, and some of which it's hard to explain away. Just as, hey, that's people freaking out over stuff. And he at one time ran Breitbart and is now taking a leave of absence. Now will be a special counselor or counsel to the president. And you've got Reince Priebus, who was the head of the RNC, that is now going to be the chief of staff. The difference here, here's one of these things. One of them is a person who I think is a great organizer, who has a vision, who can be that bridge between Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And that's Reince Priebus, because I think he'll be able to go do a lot of these things and help Donald along the way. But the guy that's going to have the ear in the end of the day may be Steve Bannon. And there is some worry about that. There is. Now, he has said, I'm not anti-Semitic. He said, I'm not anti-gay. I'm not a lot of these things. But, you know, you run Breitbart, you look at Breitbart, and just like you look at the, you know, Daily Cause. I mean, there's all of them have their, you know, their ways, right? You could accuse either side of being socialistic, communistic, and, you know, and anti, you know, Second Amendment and First Amendment on one side, and the other one, you can accuse them of being anti-Semitic and all of these things. You can find a way if you want to. I don't know much about Steve Bannon. I know he's lived a very interesting life, very smart dude, you know, MBA from Harvard. I mean, this was a guy who, you know, he worked at Goldman Sachs, and then he went on to create a boutique firm that dealt in mergers and acquisitions, and he's done quite well. Even got a bit of the Seinfeld show when Castle Rock, I think, was sold. So, I mean, this is a guy who's very smart. But politically, he's very right-leaning. He's very conservative. And people are afraid about what he may bring, because he is one of these people that will have the ear to the point where he may be the last person standing when it comes to this power fight, probably between Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon. And by that, I mean, Reince might say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And he may say, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're not going to do those two things. And this is the kind of thing that you're going to see a fight with, because, and expect this in any organization, right? You put two powerful people, two headstrong people, two smart people together, you're going to have clashes. If you don't have clashes, then chances are it's unequally yoked, meaning one of them is far more superior than the other one, and it's not going to work. It won't. If you look back through time, the best duos and the best organizations are people who usually fought a lot. The Beatles fought all the time. Simon and Garfunkel couldn't stand each other. Hall & Oates, same kind of situation. You look back and you look at all of the greats inside of the business world and the entertainment world as far as the top tier people who ran things, they fought incessantly because they both were strong. They both brought with them a certain sense and a certain sense of skills and understanding of how business should go, and they fought. But I have a feeling that Bannon is a little bit tougher in this. I know Ryan's, and I know he's a good guy, but I just have a feeling that this is more a situation where it's going to be A1 and A2, and A1 is going to be Bannon, and he's going to have the year. And there's a lot of people that are worried that this guy is going to try to roll back time. It's going to be a little slip there, Chad. It's going to be one of those worrisome things for a lot of people out there, and I get that. But they're going to get criticized. When President Obama brought his staff on, he was criticized immediately. Bush, criticized. Clinton, criticized. Reagan, criticized. All of them, criticized. But like everything else, you have to give them a chance. You have to give them a chance. It's as simple as that. But this is his first two moves. He's also going to have Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, who you don't know anything about, really. Know the guy's really bright. He's only 35 years old. He's married to Ivanka Trump, so that's a big score right there. But he may be the brightest of them all, and he had much, 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 much say in a lot of the campaign, even getting the last words in a few situations. And he, along with the rest of the family, they're being asked to have clearance of the highest order so they can be involved in some stuff. And while that you can't appoint somebody who works is a family member to work for you, they can if it's for free. So it's going to be interesting to see what takes place. But you surround yourself with the people you know. That's just life. We do it here. You do it there. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
America and the world, we're getting fatter, fatter, fatter. Diabetes. It's World Diabetes Day, but it's National Diabetes Month. And by 2040, 1 in 10 people on Earth, not in America, but on Earth, will have diabetes. That is frightening. Every year, through medical expenses alone, we're not talking about lost wages, we're not talking about lost productivity, we're not talking about lower productivity, we're not talking about any of the other stuff, the ancillary things that go with it, tack onto this. We lose $245 billion a year just through medical alone. Think about that. Soak that up for a second. I'll wait. Yeah, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. I'm telling you right now, we've got to do better. America, we lead the way in a lot of things, and right now we lead the way in fat asses. We do. We lead the way in the larger folk on planet Earth. We have nutritionally overachieved for far too long. And there's several reasons. One of the reasons is, and this is something that's very real, is there is a rich-poor component of things. Rich people can afford to eat much healthier and better. Poor people tend to go cheaper. Poor people tend to have more kids. Chad, I'm pointing out the truth, okay, people? I know, it's crazy. Stop it with the truth. Please, please, Chad, stop it with the truth. But we also want instantaneous, right? Everybody in the world wants instantaneous. If I could tell you tonight, I'm going to get you a magical pill, and through this magical pill, your intelligence is going to increase, you're going to get taller, you're going to get thinner, whatever it is, you would want that. Everybody's looking for the magic elixir of life. What is the magic elixir? We've gotten to the point now where people have gotten so big that they can't even have the surgery because they're too fat to have the surgery so they can get less fat. That's what's scary. Think about that for a second. People who are near death and probably need the surgery so they can lose weight can't have the surgery because they're so big, it'll probably kill them if they have the surgery. But there's a component when it comes to the poor. And the reason is because going to Whole Foods, going to Trader Joe's, going to a lot of these places and eating well, it's more expensive. Feed a family of four, if you can do it for $5 or $10 at a Little Caesars, this, that, and the other, sometimes it's just easier for to do. People are working longer. They're rushing around more. And they've got more responsibilities. And yes, middle class and people who are poor tend to have more kids. I know it's crazy. Oh, my God. Stop with that, Chad. You're such a jerk. How many of you out there go, ugh, geez. They can't afford two, yet they're having three. Ball said it. Don't lie. Don't pretend. But there's also another component here. The other component isn't just rich, poor. There's willpower. And we don't have a lot of willpower in this country. We like stuff quick. We like it fast. And that includes our weight loss. But we eat like crap. Myself included. I have the palate of a 7-year-old. But you know what I do? I work out. I need to lose 20, 30 pounds. I'll readily admit that. But you know what I can do? I can see my shoes. Right? I can see my feet. I don't sweat all the time, even when it's below zero outside. I've told you this 1,000 times, and I'm going to tell it to you in 1,001. There is a great elixir to get yourself into better shape. And in doing so, eliminate a lot of these problems that comes with eventually getting type 2 diabetes. First, eat less. Make better choices. Make smaller, habit-changing choices. Get a burger, don't get fries. Get a salad. Right? Simple as that. I know we love our carbs, but that's very true. You know, maybe today you skip Coke. Right? Get some water. Little things like that. Simple and easy. Second thing is, get active. Get off your ass. Get off your butt. Don't be those people in Walmart. Think about the money it's going to cost us in the next 2 decades because we are living longer and because we're living longer and fatter. The related diseases and the cost to us as taxpayers is going to be tremendous. The age thing, we're going to have age-related diseases. People are going to get Alzheimer's. They're going to get dementia. They're going to start to break down. And yes, while we want it to, we're getting better and over time it will help, that's still going to cost us. And then diabetes, the cost of diabetes is tremendous. Think about what you do for your body. Now, granted, there's some genes component to it, but those are very small comparatively, right? Most of it is societal. You choose to eat bad. You choose to do some of these things. My thyroid's, oh, come on. Is your thyroid in a donut? My thyroid's in a donut and a burger and a soda. And it's not hard. It isn't. You make it hard like everything else. Oh, Chad, this is the jerkiest thing you've ever said. No, I'm being honest. I want you to live a happy life. I want you to live a long life. And again, we all could lose 15 or 20 pounds. We could all lose a little bit of weight. It's not a big deal. All of us could lose a little something. I'm not one to say I shouldn't because I said I have. I have to. But I also choose to live my life in a much healthier way than a lot of people do. It's not that hard. But when I look at diabetes and look at the epidemic that it's causing, and it's not just, think about where we're going to be in 15 or 20 years. Think about where we were 25, 30 years ago. Think about your friends in school. Think about how many of your friends were overweight or fat. I'm trying to think of somebody I knew that was big. I can't think of many. Probably on one hand, I could count the kids that I ran into that were bigger. But I tell you what, man, you go to schools nowadays, the epidemic amongst kids, because kids don't work out, kids don't have recess, kids don't play, they eat like crap, they're being raised by televisions and computers, they don't want to play with their friends. Phil, here's the first, you and I, we reminisce all the time about our Skyways and our mongooses and riding our bikes when we were younger. How many miles a week do you think you rode on your bike?
God, a lot. I mean, I would say between 20 and 30.
Yeah. Think about that. Could you imagine doing 20 or 30 today? Oh, God, no. Most of us couldn't. Most of us couldn't imagine. Most of us out there listening, if they told you to run a mile today, how far do you think you'd get? Oh, some of you out there, no problem. But some of you, it'd be a walk.
I was going to say, yeah. I probably couldn't run a mile, but I could walk a mile.
Yeah. I run, when I go out, I try to run a mile and a half to 2 miles and swim a half a mile and hit weights. I do that 2-3 times a week. And then I'm trying to go kick the ball around a little bit more because it kind of gets boring doing that. But, you know, as Anthony's pointed out to me, producer Anthony, well, you know, you're ahead of probably 90% of the country. And that's sad. But because it costs us money. And then think about this. What's it cost to you to your self-esteem? You're bigger. You know, you don't think that maybe people like you. You struggle at work. You've got all these things. You don't feel good about yourself. And by not feeling good about yourself, what does that do for you? There's so many components into this. But the fact is, diabetes is real. And for many of us, we can prevent a good portion of it. Yes, genes do play a part, especially in type 1. But type 2 diabetes, how many times do you talk to people who maybe either lost a lot of weight because they worked out hard or they had the surgery and worked out and they lost weight and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, all my symptoms are gone. I don't have type 2 diabetes anymore. It's come on. We can do better. But to know that over the next 20 plus years, we're going to get to a point where 1 in 10 of us is going to have diabetes. And how many of you out there are living right now and you don't even know you have it? That's the thing that's scary. We've got to do better. It's as simple as that. It's not a hard thing. It's not a crazy thing. It's not an insane thing. It's just being honest, saying, look, we can do better. We can eat less and work out a little bit more. You don't need 5 slices of pizza as much as you'd like them. And it's okay to have a cheat day once in a while. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm going on a cruise and I'm going to pig out. It's okay. The problem is we all live our life that way and that the cost to our nation is tremendous. And as somebody who is conservative with money and the way that you know, that's what I always tell everybody. Conservatives, you want to get really serious about stuff, we got to get rid of the death penalty because it costs a ton of money and doesn't work. We got to figure out a way to clear prisons out and get the bad people in the right prisons and keep them there forever and get the other people the help they need and get them back out contributing to society. And we got to figure out a way to slow down our fattiness so we don't have to pay billions and soon to be trillions of dollars into taking care of people, that much of which it could be preventable. And you know who you are. And I'm busting your balls. And you know what? That's life right there. That's a little tough love. If you were too fat to stand on your own anymore, the girth and the size of your body, the skeleton inside of you can no longer hold you up and you've got to take a scooter everywhere, you're a fatty cap. Chad! You don't need to tell me that. Well, somebody needs to. I want you healthy. Nothing wrong with that. And I want our country healthy. Absolutely. We're going to make America great again. Maybe we can make us a fit again. That wouldn't be bad. Maybe we can make that's Phil. That'll be our thing. We're going to call the president-elect and say we want to make America fit again.
And hey, we'll be the leaders. That's a great idea.
It is a great idea. Don't ask me to get off the couch, but that's a great idea. The super. By the way, this weekend Jack went for a 5K run with his mom and his aunt for a lung awareness thing, and I love. My son refuses to wear shorts, so he ran in his fatigues. Because police officers and army guys don't wear shorts. So he ran in his full fatigues and a long sleeve shirt and then had to say, Daddy, it was so hot outside. I'm like, Jack, you're in San Diego, California. It's 80 degrees outside. You can wear shorts. Oh, Dad, you know I don't like shorts. So weird. Get fit again, America. Let's make America fit again. Speaking of getting fit, I want you fit as a fiddle. I'm going to help you with that. We just talked about how we can all get fitter, what we all need to do. But here's something else we can do that helps with that. It's called Super Beats. Helps with your blood flow, something that you're going to need as you get fitter. Let me tell you something. Super Beats is incredible. It's the easiest way to get dietary nitrates into my body. One scoop in water or smoothie or yogurt, boom, away it goes. And what it does is it helps with your healthy blood pressure and blood flow. And it takes the dietary nitrates, then converts them into nitric oxide, and away you go. It is amazing. Phil and I both take Super Beets, and we both swear by it.
Absolutely. I told you earlier, I went back to drinking coffee today, and after two cups, I was so shaky and so jittery, and I couldn't focus. Don't have that with Super Beets. I feel energized with Super Beets, and the taste is great, and I don't get those shaky jitters, and I don't feel the crash afterwards, and my goodness, it tastes good.
It does, and that's always the thing. People are always worried about taste. Thanksgiving's coming next weekend. Let me tell you something, kids. You're going to need a little bit of this because your family's going to be around. They're going to be running you ragged. They're visiting. Trust me on this. You're going to love it. Guaranteed or your money back. That's what's beautiful about them. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You also get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beets to make sure it's working in your body. A book called Beat the Odds, absolutely free and free shipping, and it's guaranteed or your money back. Guaranteed or your money back. Go to chadbeets.com. That's chadbeets.com or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. One more time, 800-561-2677 or go to chadbeets.com and order today. Wrap it up! Chad Benson Show.
I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show, breaking news.
There's breaking news tonight. Kendall Jenner has shut down her Instagram. 68 million people follow her. Do you think that the New York Times wishes they had 68 million people following them? 68 million people follow her. She said she needed to take just some time away from social media. She was probably, I can't, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and harp on them because I think most of what you hear, the haters out there, I said haters, it's jealousy. It's what it is. I mean, you know, I mean, it's all about jealousy, right? You know, it's 110% jealousy. It's what it is. And so I don't harp on them. Look, they work hard. They built a brand around themselves. Everybody, if you're a business person, if you're sitting there and you're a business person and you want to know how to build your brand, go look at them. They should teach courses on how to build brands. They have built brands. Now, they themselves are brands, but they are brands. And through that, everything else has come up. And the things that they touch become brand names to a lot of people. Brand recognition. Right. It's important. I mean, and so, look, I've never had a problem with them. I don't, you know, I joke about it, but, you know, 68 million people, that's just huge, huge, man. That's huge. That is huge. 68 million people followed her. That's insane to think that many people follow what you do. Like, you get, like, 5 likes. You're like, man, I'm doing well. I got 25 likes. Look at me go. 68 million people. How many likes do you think she gets? Now, Phil and I were both upset about the going away from this. But there's also another reason. And Khloe Kardashian said, look, what happened to Kim in Paris was an eye-opener. And also, you put yourself out there. Not only are you going to have the backlash, but there are kooky people out there who are willing to do some stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I think you look at this and you think to yourself, maybe it's time to close shop a little bit. But you've built a brand, right? You just don't get rid of the brand. Now, Phil and I, we like, what's her name's Ariel Winter, right?
Ariel Winter, yes.
Ah, she's on the old Modern Family. She was supposed to be the one that wasn't pretty. And now she's way hotter than the other one. The one that looks like somebody shrunk Mila Kunis. Yeah. So she better not go. I wonder how many she has. 68 million, man. Like, you ever go online and you'll see, like on YouTube, like some of these people that just have, you know, like there'll be an Adele song and she's got like 1.2 billion views. And you're thinking to yourself, that's insane. Like, one in every six people have seen this. Now, granted, it's not one in every six because somebody's watched that 1,000 times. But if you, I mean, you, if we're doing the math there, that's got to be, that's a, you're building a brand. And I would have zero problems. Like if I was a, if I was an instructor at school and you could get one of them to come down and say, come down and talk about how you build a brand. Because it is these kids, these college kids are going to go out there and they're going to work for companies. Maybe they're going to start their own thing. Building a brand is important. First of all, and I'm going to tell you guys this, the number one thing to do to build certain brands in certain arenas is sex. Sex sells. It's always sold. It always will sell. Make something sexy and it helps your brand. Right? That's why Phil's here, because he makes me look sexier.
I was going to say the thing about you.
Solid fun show on our new studios here on this beautiful Monday. Thanks so much for being a part of it. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. If you'd like to go over to my fun pages where my sexiness lives, check us out, at Chad Benson Show, for Twitter, Instagram, and everything else. Text us always, 323-538-2423. And check out ChadBensonShow.com for all kinds of fun stuff. We got a plenty of stuff there, including all of our parodies. So check it out at ChadBensonShow.com. For John, who worked hard all weekend, for Anthony, for Charlie, and for my man Phil, have a good night. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.